For those of you who have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you turn to Matthew, starting with chapter 4. We're going to jump around. We're going to touch a lot of scriptures. I'm going to set the groundwork with Matthew chapter 4, and then we'll move on to Matthew, just so you know if you want to put your finger in both places, Matthew chapter 28 here in a moment as well. So we're going to pose the question, why the church? Now, when you say why the church can mean a lot of different questions. But the one that we're going to focus on today is why would God use the church to fulfill His mission? Why has He chosen us? The answer, plain and simple, I can give you the answer when we go home. You good with that? No, we want to get in the Word. So here's what it comes down to. Plain and simple, why the church? Because it's His plan. We are His vessels to get this message, this good news out to this world. We are a part of His strategy. We are a part of His plan. We are a part of advancing the kingdom in this day. That's exciting. I mean, it's pretty exciting that we get to be a part of what He desires to do. We're a portion of that. So why the church? Because this is His plan, plain and simple, but we're going to break it down a little bit more. How many of y'all remember a message series that we did last year in the fall called The Harvest? Anybody remember that? Raise of hands, yeah. So I'm going to break it down real quick, sum it up. The Harvest basically said this. The Harvest is both a movement and a moment all wrapped into one. Meaning it's a season and it's also a movement of God. That's what harvest is. So in a spiritual sense, it's both a moment and a movement, but it doesn't happen. Listen, this true harvest, spiritual harvest, doesn't happen without a message, without seeds being planted. Let me break that down. Here's the movement. Us sowing seeds. Jesus saving people. That's the movement. The message, it's the gospel. It's the seeds of the gospel that we spread, that we're called to do. And then the moment, by the way, is right now. We're in a harvest season right now. We're called to do this work now, not save it until later. And don't go home and say, Pastor Eric gave us a guilt trip. That's not what this is about. We are blessed to be a part of what God's doing. We are blessed to be called by Him, empowered by Him to spread the good news. We're messengers of hope, of encouragement, of eternal life. We're messengers. It's not about guilt. We're blessed and honored and privileged to be a part of His plan. So since last year, since we had that message, we've had 46 baptisms as a part of a Columbia campus. Come on, give God some praise. In 1 year, 46 baptisms. 26 of those baptisms happened in the summer in a 3-month period. We are in the midst of harvest. We're blessed to be a part of that. And if you go back and maybe even listen to those messages, the end of Matthew chapter 9, one of the verses that we used or the passages that we used to get us started in that series was that, listen, that there's the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Jesus said, so pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send out workers. That's the end of chapter 9. You know what He did in chapter 10? He sent the people out that were praying. Watch what you pray for. But that's what He said. Pray for it. Pray that I'll send out workers. And then in chapter 10, He says, now go. He wants us to pray for workers, and then He wants us to be willing to go as well. 46 baptisms. That's 46 lives that have been changed by the good news of the gospel. I'm sorry, but if I'm a part of a church that can't get excited about something like that, I need to go to another church. Because God is doing great things, amazing things in our midst, amongst us, in this community, and we're blessed to see it in our day. There are churches that are starving for times like this, for seasons like this. And my prayer is that we can start to partner with them so that the body of Christ all across Maury County will see this movement of God occur. We are in. Do you know that the harvest is plentiful in Maury County right now? Do you know that? I mean, people are sitting on the edge of their seats waiting to hear this good news. They're ready. We have to bring that message to them. That's what, why? Because this is His plan. We're a part of His plan. He wants us to be a part of this movement. Here's a few things. All right, we're going to focus on some things that Jesus has given us. He's given us a mission. He's given us a message. And He's given us His Spirit. The Spirit of God to multiply across the planet. Those are three things that we're going to look at in the midst of this message. We're going to start with Jesus has given us a mission. He's given us a mission. Now, I'm going to go back to when He first called His disciples and what He said to them. So if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 18, it says, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus," or He, "saw two brothers, Simon," who is called Peter, "and Andrew," his brother, "casting a net into the sea." Why? Because they were fishermen. That's what they did. They were fishermen. And He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, I know that that isn't too exciting for those of you in the room who aren't fishermen. The truth of the matter is, I don't really like fishing. I don't. It's not my favorite thing to do. It's kind of boring. That's my take on it. But there are a number of things that I do like to do. And what He was doing is Jesus came up and He said, I want you to reach men. And so I'm going to explain it to you in such a way that you'll understand what I'm saying to you. You like fishing, right? Okay, then I will make you fish for men. Oh, no, plug in whatever it is that you enjoy, whatever it is. And He's saying, I want to take your talents, your abilities, the things that you're good at, and I want you to understand that I want you to be used to reach people. To reach people. And they're like, I'm going to follow Him. And so they began to follow Him. They immediately knew that they were moving into this new mission in life. And then we have this passage in Matthew chapter 28 that we call the Great Commission. Matter of fact, some of your Bibles will probably have that title right above this passage, the Great Commission. This isn't a term that we pull from Scripture. It's one that through time, the church has started to call this passage the Great Commission. If you take the word commission, you break it down, the prefix for it is with, together, in association, or back to what we talked about before, common. It's a common mission. This is our great common mission. So we should probably lean in. But you say to me, Pastor Eric, I've heard this passage 1,000 times. I get it. Let's just move on. Well, the real question is, okay, we get it, but are we getting it? We get it, but are we fulfilling it? We get it, but are we actually moving in this mission, this common mission that God has called us to? Are we a part of that? And I would say 46 people whose lives were changed over the last year, absolutely. But how many of you want more? Because it's not just about a number. These are individual lives that are being changed. Individual lives that are being changed. That's what God's called us to in this mission, is to fish for men or reach out to people in our own communities, our surrounding areas. And it even says in this, to the very ends of the earth. I find it intriguing, that term, ends of the earth, because there's really no ends to the earth until there's the ends of the end of the earth. It's more than just a region. It even goes to the end of time, to the very ends of time. We are to reach people. Let's look at this. Now the 11 disciples, actually, let's skip down, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Here's an action. Go. Got it? Everybody, can you just say that with me? Go. Go, therefore, and make. Everybody say make. So there's two actions there. Go, therefore, and make disciples of the United States of America. Of all nations. Not just Jerusalem. Not just Judea. Not just Samaria. But to the ends of the earth. As you'll see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And he goes on to say, baptizing them. There's another action, everybody. Just say, baptizing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. With me, teaching. Teaching. Can you say that? Awesome. You're like, this is not an elementary class. No, just go with me, okay? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I love this, I am with you. For how long? Always, to the very end of the age. Four primary things that he's called us to do. He's commissioned us. He's given us a mission to do is to go. Go, go. Not just go, but when you go, make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. So the question is, he's given us a mission, and now what's the message? And listen, I know that these are the basics. I know that we're getting right back down to the roots, but don't you think sometimes we just need to get back to the basics? Don't you think sometimes we just need to be reminded of the very basic truths that we have so that it will, I think, spark us to get back in the game? If a team is messing up on the field, what does the coach usually do? Get back to the basics. Well, coach, we've already done this before. Well, you didn't prove it on the field last week. So let's get back to the basics. And I think God's calling us back to this basic truth, this basic simple piece, so that we'll get serious about the calling that he has on our life. We have a mission. We also have a message. I've always asked this question, what did he teach? If you want to get back to the true message, what did Jesus talk about when he was here? What was it he said when he was here? Luke 4, 42 through 44. And when it was day, he, Jesus, departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach. He said, I must preach. What are you going to preach? I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. The good news of the kingdom of God. We're called to teach and preach the good news of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? We are. There isn't this, building up of a fortified city thing going on. No, what's happening is we are advancing the kingdom. Every single relationship, every single new believer, the kingdom of God is being advanced across this planet. I talk a lot about circles of influence. You all know why? Because it's important. I talk a lot about circles of influence. Matter of fact, I talk a lot, Wes and I talk a lot about this, about who's the new person that you met today. We pose that question on a regular basis. So tell me somebody new that you met today. Why? Because that's one new person that I didn't know before. And every time I get to know someone, there's a chance that they're going to come to know Christ. If they come to know Christ, then the kingdom of God advances by their circle of influence. Are y'all tracking with me? That's why it's so important that we get outside of our element, get outside of our own little comfort zone, and actually start to get to know people on a regular basis. It's not always easy, is it? You can be honest. Is it easy? It's not. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's fun just to stay home. Sometimes, and I love to do this. This is probably more, I didn't share this last hour, and I probably shouldn't, but I like to just stay home in my pajamas sometimes. What? Anybody? Can I get a witness? Right. But can we do that every day and be effective for the kingdom? No, but sometimes we need some rest. Amen? All right, moving on. So this message is the good news of the kingdom of God. And he said, I want you to take it to the other towns as well. Or I'm taking it to the other towns as well. For I was sent, why? For this purpose, for this very mission. I was sent here to share this good news of the kingdom. And hey, when he was on earth, it was the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. But do you realize now the kingdom of God is here? He says in Luke 17, verse 21, look, here it is. He's talking about the Pharisees are asking about this kingdom. He says, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that you can that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there, for behold, he says this, the kingdom of God is in your midst. When Jesus came, he brought the kingdom with him. When Jesus came, he brought the kingdom authority with him. And then he said to the apostles, I want you to do this. I want you to go. He said, Matthew chapter 10, 5 through 7. He said, I want you to go and proclaim as you go, saying this, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's near. It's at hand. Acts 28, you see Paul is given a message because Jesus has already died. Right? He's already died. He's already been crucified. He was already buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and now he has ascended into heaven, and Paul says this. Or actually, it's said of Paul in Acts 28 that he lived there for 2 whole years at his own expense. This is Paul. And welcomed all who came to him, get this, proclaiming the kingdom of God. I think, everybody look at me, I think this whole kingdom of God thing is pretty important. It must be pretty important, but because it keeps coming up, and it didn't stop with Jesus. It didn't stop with his disciples. It didn't stop with just the apostles that were close to him. It continues on in Paul. And then he gives us, he says, I want you to be my disciples. Go therefore. And what I want you to do is I want you to proclaim the same thing. Because if you look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Proclaim that the kingdom is here. Proclaim the gospel to who? All of creation. We're called to be a part of this message. We have this mission, right? To send this message to the very ends of the earth. We're part of the plan. Why the church? Because this is what he wanted us to do. This is what he's called us to be a part of. And you can prove that as you move on to the place where he says, because... And John, you see these passages in John chapter 14, John chapter 16, John chapter 17. He says this. He says, I must go and prepare a place for you. Y'all know that passage? I'm going to go and prepare a place. He says, I have to go. You don't know why I have to go? So that I can send my Spirit to you. I must go so that you can receive my Spirit. And he says, John chapter 14, and he said, and greater things will you do. Greater things will we do? You want to know why? Because we're multiplied. We are the body of Christ across this planet right now. When Jesus came, he was one in flesh. He said, I must go. Why? So that I can send my Spirit. So that my Spirit will indwell in you, will fill you so that you can do my work. I'm the head of the body. You are the members. You're the hands. You're the feet. Now go. We're a part of his plan. That's pretty exciting. I'm not faking it. It sure seems like it. It really is exciting when you stop and think, God, you chose us. I had a friend of mine, David Taylor, he said to me one time, he said, Eric, have you ever thought about this? He said, out of all of the millions, now billions of people on the planet, I think they're saying upwards of 8 billion now on the planet. Out of all the billions of people on the planet, God looked down on this globe and he started to just kind of move people around. And he goes, I choose Eric to be a pastor in Columbia, Tennessee. Well, that made it personal. Out of all the people, 8 billion people that he could have chosen, he chose me. I don't get it, but do you realize he did the same thing for you? Out of the 8 billion people, he said of you, I've chosen you for the calling that I have on your life. How special is that? I mean, we're talking about the God who created the heavens and the earth. He knows the name of every star, and he looks at you and says, I've created you for a time such as this. Because you're a part of my plan to advance this message in this day. So Jesus, he's given us his spirit. Why? To multiply his body across this planet, to reach the needs of people, to spread the kingdom across the planet. Why? So that they can hear the good news that you and I already know. He even said to his disciples in Acts 1, 4 through 5, he says, you can't do it on your own. Now, that's not what it says. If you read that passage, it says, do not depart from Jerusalem. But what he's saying is, you don't want to leave. You don't want to go and try to spread the good news yet, because I'm going to send my spirit. So I need you to just stay put until it's time. It's not time yet. When you receive my spirit, then you'll have the power that you need to go and do what I've asked you to do. But wait, because you need my spirit. And so then, on the day of Pentecost, they receive the spirit. And in one message, one moment, one harvest season, the same people that were hearing, I'm going to make you fishers of men. The same people that were hearing, I'm going to send you to share this good news that the kingdom of God is here. The same guys that were with Jesus receive the Spirit of God. Receive the Spirit of God. And in one moment, 3,000 people were saved. Why? Because of the Spirit in them. They were empowered to do what they were told to do. They were empowered to fulfill the mission, to share the message with others. You know, think about a couple of things. I got a couple of stories I was thinking about. One is, I'm thinking about Steve Witt and how he's over there right now in Las Vegas in the midst of all of this tragedy. And you got to know that Steve, if anybody knows Steve, maybe you don't, I just want to share with you. He loves to share the good news. He loves to share the gospel, so much so that it's a little awkward sometimes. You ever been around that guy? Steve Witt is that guy. Can I get an amen for those that know him? Steve, we love you. I hope you're listening. But they've been called 2 years ago to go to Vegas. They listened to the Spirit to take them to Vegas. I don't think it's any coincidence that they're right now, that they're there ministering to people who are hurting. Because that's what God does. People listen and they go where God has asked them to go. We sent a picture to Steve and to John Labonte and let them know that we were praying for them as a staff. And this is how he responded. Thank you so much for your prayers and encouragement. I love that sound. Thank you so much for your prayers and encouragement. Tonight at our service, we had 7 students pray to receive Christ. In a week of death, God has brought life. Let's all keep giving them heaven. Now that's Steve Witt. For this, give them heaven. Give them heaven. God has put them there for a time such as this. There's no doubt about it. And they listen to his spirit to send them. And then now they're listening to his spirit in every single moment to know when to share the gospel. Seeds are being planted. Fruit is coming. That which the enemy meant for evil, God can use for good. I'll tell you a little bit about this young lady by the name of Poema. Is Gracie Willard in here? I'm going to talk about you, girl. Everybody look at her just real quick so she can turn bright red and then we'll move on. Here's what I know, Gracie. Poema, or we'll call her Poem, because as Americans, we change your name because we're too lazy to call you what your name is. So, Poema, actually, I think she's pretty glad. I think she's probably excited that Gracie was willing to be a witness. Because, see, here's what we're called in that Great Commission. We're called to be witnesses. You go to Acts chapter 1, and it says this, Lord, the disciples are talking to Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Now listen to this, but you will receive power. Anybody want some power? Not for your own sake and your own pride, not to make a name for yourself, but anybody want some power just to overcome? Anybody want some power and strength to be able to share this good news? He says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Not do witnessing. You'll be. Who are you? This is who you are. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's exciting, isn't it? That's what we're called to be. But I think the poem is probably excited that you're willing to be who you are, and that is a witness for Jesus. See, Poem was, she was raised as a Muslim in a Muslim culture. And because Gracie was being a witness, she heard the message and she surrendered her life to Christ. Now, listen to this. I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget us sitting in that last devotional that we had for that particular mission trip. Every night we would meet together. I was the team leader and we would pray together and we would talk about what God's been doing. We were already celebrating lives that have been changed. We had already seen a handful of Muslims come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. But that night as we finished up and we wrapped up, she actually, Gracie looked at me with tears in her eyes. It was funny because she was almost commanding as opposed to asking. She's like, you need to pray for me. Yes, ma'am. I mean, it was, you need to pray for me. But here's why. Because God is telling me, listen, the Spirit of God in me is telling me that I have to share my testimony with her and that I have to ask her if she wants to be saved. So I did what every good pastor would do. I had her own dad pray for her. It was awesome. It was the ugliest cry I've ever seen in my life. But it was one of the most precious moments that I've ever been a part of. And then when that girl left that room, she was empowered by the Spirit of God, and Poem gave her life to Christ because she was willing to be a witness. We're all blessed to be a part of this. We're all called to be a part of this. Why the church? Because it's his plan. This is his plan, and I'm going to add to this. I'm excited to see Gracie take the lead in other places. Now she's the FCA president for Spring Hill High School. I was blessed to go and be a part of that. In addition to that, she shared, and other students shared their testimonies at Fields of Faith for the FCA on a Wednesday night, a couple Wednesday nights ago, and multiple students surrendered their lives to Christ. I'm not done yet. She'll also be partnering with me, I'm excited to say, in November, as we actually work together. She's going to share a testimony, and I'm going to preach at Reach Weekend, where more students are going to hear the testimony. They're going to hear the witness of Gracie. Why? Because she's fulfilling the mission that God's called her to share this message. She's a part of the multiplication, but so are you, and so am I. And this isn't a task that is daunting. This is a blessing. This isn't a task that we should feel burdened by. We should know that we're honored and privileged to be a part of the plan that God put in place to see people saved. I hope that it never becomes a burden to you. Truly, truly, Jesus says this, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Now listen, and greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I will sum it up. As Jesus has given us His Spirit, oh my goodness, He's given us His Spirit, people. He's empowered us. He's given us His Spirit to multiply the message to fulfill His mission. We are His body in this day. Some possible next steps: pray, give, and go. These are three things that you could possibly do. We have a number of missions that we do on a regular basis, but I don't want to inundate you with so many. One of the things you can do is pray. Pray for Las Vegas. Please pray for Vegas and the ministry there. In addition to that, we're about to send out a team to Senegal in Africa, Muslim country. Brian Holly's taking the lead on it. Would you pray? Would you commit to pray for them as they go and they share the gospel and multiply the kingdom in that area? Or maybe you should go. Maybe God's calling you to go somewhere. I don't know where to go. Let me give you some ideas. We go to Nicaragua. Brent Jones has led 15 different teams during 12 different years. John Dodd, is he in here? Over here. John, actually, you'll be going a part of the Nicaragua team next time, right? Or you have the info. When's the next trip? February 17th. Don't leave if you feel like God's calling you to be a part of this mission. These guys, when they go and build. God uses that to open the doors. They've built churches. They've done all kinds of incredible things in Nicaragua. Why? Because we're called to be a part of the multiplication. Maybe it's a local thing. Can you be a part of the safe room that we have for foster kids? Would you be willing to volunteer and love on those children? Be the love of Jesus for children who are in a hurting situation, transitioning to and from foster care. Would you be a part of that? I mean, these are just a few things. Another thing I'm going to ask you to do, would you prayerfully consider to give to our missions offering in November? Now, I need everybody's attention. Columbia people, let's talk for a second. I can almost hear it now, but we want a facility, so we're going to save our money for a facility. Maybe I'm the only one that has those thoughts. Can I tell you, if we were supposed to have a facility right now, the door would be open for that? Can I tell you that God's plan, we're looking. We're praying for the right door to open. Trust me on that, please. I want this as much as you do. But you know what I want more than to please people who want a facility? I want to be in the will of God. And not to, a number of years ago, we were doing a building campaign for Hampshire First Baptist Church when I was pastoring there. And I've shared this testimony with some of you. Others, you may not have heard it yet, but I'll keep it brief. Basically, what it came down to was the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to take up an offering and give it to another church. To which I responded, but we need to build. Come on, God, don't you know that? And that's kind of what we do, right? We have a conversation. Don't judge me. You do the same thing. So we're having a conversation with God, and we're talking about this, and He said, no, I'm telling you, I want you to take up this offering, and I want you to give it away. We took up an offering, a church of less than 100, for over $6,000. And within the next month or two, I received a check from somebody who wasn't even a part of the church for over $13,000. And it moved us towards doing what we needed to do with our facilities. You can't outgive God. So all I'm asking is this. Take all the prerequisites off your prayer. Take all of your own preconceived ideas off the prayer and pray, God, would you have me give towards missions in 2018? Why? Because Thompson Station Church is doing great things across the planet. And we're blessed to be a part of that. And part of that, just so you don't, some of you don't know this, part of us moving, it cost us almost $200,000 to launch this campus. to buy all the things that we needed to prep and move into this direction. And a large portion of that came from a missions offering from the year before. So just pray about it. Ask God, what would you have me do? Would pray, give, go, and let Him be the one that guides you. And here's what I know. I know He'll guide you. You know how I know that? Because His Spirit is in us. Plain and simple, right? We cry out to God for answers. Jesus said, and isn't this what He said? Whatever you ask in My name, this I will do. Didn't He say that? Just that the Father may be glorified. Why does He do this? To glorify the Father. Why does He answer your prayers and mine? To glorify Father. And that's our prayer, is that as a church, as a body of believers, that we would pray that He'd give us wisdom on what to do, where to give, where to go, but ultimately, He would be the one glorified because we're fulfilling the mission that He's called us to by spreading this message. It's an honor to be a part of His plan. I'm going to ask that the ushers would come forward and let's pray together.